Okay. Very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. There are some Kayanamita who just arrived. I think Brother Joseph, Eng B, then Mrs. Ho and the friend. So four of them had joined us. So because of that, we will welcome them. Then we will have our sharing after this. So I will repeat. Today is the fourth day, 18th of March, Monday, 2019. So now we will continue with our program. As listed, is Dhamma sharing. So we have done until page 60. Page 61, the Heart Sutta, short note books. So I will continue from there. Meditation. When one encounters adversity without wisdom, the mind will stir to condition one's unwholesome thought and unwholesome emotion. So this is the most important aspect of understanding. So when you encounter adversity, or you encounter the First Noble Truth realities, the eight conditions without wisdom, the Buddha said you will suffer. And why you suffer? Because you are mindful, if you are a cultivator, you will know. Because of your lack of wisdom, your mind will stir to condition your unwholesome thought, your wrong thought. Then it will condition your unwholesome emotion that brings about suffering. So when you understand this, you will determine to develop the understanding of life, the wisdom behind, which is the Buddha's teaching, the Buddha Dhamma. You all can sit in the center, don't worry, so that you can hear more clearly. Oh, echo. Okay. But for those who want to listen nearer, clearer, you can sit in the center where you can see the whiteboard, can see me clearer. Otherwise, at the side, you have to face certain direction. Okay. Then the Buddha teaches five ways to overcome all this unwholesome thought and emotion that has arisen. This unwholesome thought, they have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So when it arises, it will condition you to have wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong thought. And all this will condition karmic negativity. That's how you will get yourself into trouble. Then sometimes because of your evil action, evil speech, and the evil thought you arise, you yourself also will be hurt, will be harmed, will be stressed. Then you create condition for evil karma to arise. That's why they will hit you. They will cause you to have karmic negativity too. If you have not developed the anger, the hatred, or the fear, then technically there is no condition for evil karma to arise. So when you face life, when you confront the Noble Truth reality or adversity or problems, so-called problems of life, you have to always remember this. My advice is always don't react. Don't project your thought. Means don't get angry, don't fear. Accept the reality of the moment. Then with that clarity of mind, investigate, find out what actually happened. What is the real situation or so-called problem in inverted comma. Then after that, you act. You act with wisdom. You act with understanding. So you ask yourself, how can I resolve this thing amicably? So that nobody get hurt, so that nobody get afflicted, there is no karmic behind. So that your future life is taken care of. Otherwise, if you react and do all those foolish things, you will create karmic negativity, which will be the possibility of friction that will trigger off and cause you to suffer in future. So the Dhamma will enable you to act with wisdom following Noble Eightfold Path, which is without karmic negativity. Where it's all about right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action. And right effort to constantly purify, then mindfulness to be sensitive, to be aware. Then samadhi, together with sati, to develop the understanding, the wisdom, the awakening. So when you understand this, then your life will become beautiful. But before you understand, the wrong thought will arise. It will condition evil action, evil speech, evil activity. So what must you do when it arises? That's why the Buddha recommended 5 ways. The first right effort is to abandon the unwholesome thought, wrong action, wrong speech that has arisen. To do that, the Buddha recommended 5 very useful ways. The first way is still thought-based. He said, think of the opposite direct wholesome thought. For example, if there is anger, then develop loving-kindness or metta. When you have loving-kindness or metta, you cannot get angry. Basically, it's just so simple. Then when you have love, you are peaceful. You have joy. And if there is cruelty, then you develop compassion. When you are compassionate, you cannot be cruel. When you can feel for the suffering being, you cannot be cruel. And if there is fear, you must develop faith, understanding. Then the second way is, the Buddha said, you have to also reflect, contemplate and think of the consequence of holding on to that wrong thought or evil thought, which is the root of all evil. It's an evil root, with the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. If you do not abandon it, then the evil root, which is the root of all evil, will condition you into becoming an evil person. For example, anger can condition one into hatred and violence. An angry person can kill, can harm, and abuse others. So this will bring about karmic negativity. Then you ask yourself, my life, do I want this to happen? If you don't want, it is obvious that you have to abandon it. Then you determine to abandon it. Then you move on to the third way, which is the meditative. First and second is still thought-based, involving thought. But initially, you have to use it. So that at least temporarily, you have a relief. Then you see the danger, the urgency to abandon it. So the third way is the meditative way. And this one is very, very important and yet very simple. When you understand, you can free your mind. The Buddha said, just relax and let things be. This is the meditative way. Develop via understanding that the natural state of mind before the stirring is already the meditative state of peace, calmness, and silent inner awareness. And that the very flowering of that unwholesome thought is the very ending of that thought. If you do not give it any more fuel to proliferate through wrong view. So this one I already explained. When the unwholesome thought like anger, selfishness, fear, worry, anxiety arise, don't go and control it, suppress it or reject it. Forget about it. You do that, you create more problem. These are mental hindrance. So what you should do is aware, like the Buddha said, when the content of consciousness has greed, aware, has fear, aware. Aware means what? Not to use another thought to be aware of the anger. Aware means silence everything and stay with that anger or that fear. Be with it. Just silence everything. Feel it. Feel it. Then when you are with that thing cannot move because you don't introduce any more wrong thought. You don't introduce any more thought energy. You don't think about it anymore. You're just aware. When you do that, the energy that caused the arising of the unwholesome thought, like the anger, that is due to wrong view. Like my daughter say, the brain, when it thinks, it will condition emotion. Because that is wrong thought. That's why your fear, your anxiety, your whatever reaction to life situation come from your wrong thought, views and opinion born of delusion. So when you understand, then you will know how to meditate. Very easy. Don't do anything. Remain aware. That is our first two support of meditation. Relax, be with it. Relax means don't react. Don't project. Don't create anything. Don't stir. Just accept the reality of the moment. Be at peace first. Yeah. Then always remember, whenever you are not peaceful and not happy, you have reacted. You have projected your thought. There is wrong thought in you. You are not a cultivator. So this will help you to identify your mind state. Then as you become skillful, every time anything happens, you're just silent and be with it. Then you realize the anger ceases. The fear ceases. The anxiety ceases. Everything ceases. Then the teaching becomes very clear. Like the Buddha's analogy of the bullock cart crossing the pool of water when he asked Ananda to collect the water for him. First time he go, the water was muddy. He came back and told the Buddha, the water is not conducive for drinking. Oh, the Buddha said, okay, you go again later. Again, it was not conducive. Then the Buddha told him, okay, then at night you go. Oh, at night he went, the water was crystal clear. Because there is no bullock cart for quite a while. Then after he brought back the potable water, which is drinkable, to the Buddha, he was excited. He told the Buddha, yeah, now the water is clear, beautiful, can drink. Then the Buddha asked him, what did you learn, Ananda? Ananda couldn't understand. He told Ananda, meditation is the same. Your mind don't have clarity is because like the bullock cart is stirred. Then you churn out the dirt, the dust. That's why that water become muddy, cloudy. Likewise, when your mind react and stir, it's like the bullock cart churning up the defilement, the evil roots, the wrong thought, the emotion, the fear. So all this cloud your true mind. That's why that water cannot drink. Polluted, muddy. But when you don't churn, when you don't do anything, you just remain silent, means no more block cut crossing, your mind do not react and do not stir, what happened? Like the clear water, all the dust settled down. They didn't arise. But you have not rooted them out. Understand not? But at least you get clear water, potable water. Then you are peaceful, you are calm, you are aware, your problem is gone. But this is not a permanent fix. This is a temporary fix. Because you have to go back to live life. So when you encounter the same problem or adversity in life, you will again react and get angry or develop the fear. Then what happens? Every time run to some quiet place and meditate. But if you are skillful in your daily mindfulness, you don't have to run. You just stay with it. You don't even want to argue or try to be right. No point. You're just silent. Then you radiate love. You radiate whatever that can bring about harmony, peace, understanding. Then you act accordingly. You need to apologize. You apologize. I'm sorry you have caused you any misunderstanding or any problem, really. Yeah, I'd like to ask for forgiveness from you. I'd like to apologize to you. So if you speak gently, pleasantly, sincerely, whoever who get angry at you also will tone down. You understand? That's why at least temporarily, relationship-wise or in life, you can resolve it. But let's say you are a cultivator, you still want to develop the wisdom, the answer, so that you can root all the whatever defilement, evil root, wrong view, wrong thought all out. Means no more dust, no more problem. Then you have to go to the fourth way. The Buddha said the fourth way is to trace the origination factor and then retrospectively reverse them via cultivating the mindfulness of Dhamma under Dhamma Nupassana. That is via the cultivation of mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and the six external sense bases. When you are mindful, you will know how your mind stir. How did you get angry? How did fear arise? What are the conditions behind? Then clearly, you will develop the understanding. Oh, because I don't like that person. I feel offended. Then why did you do that? Because you perceive that you are real. You identify yourself. Then you think you have been scolded. You have been maybe mistreated. Then when you have a problem, like health problem, or financial problem, or what, quite serious, then your fear starts to arise, project. Again, you ask yourself, why did I do that? Why did I project my thought? Ayo, the doctor confirmed I got health, serious health disease, maybe cancer or whatever. But why must you fear? Why must you panic? Why must you worry? Because all this fear, worry, anxiety, panicking will not help you, will not solve your problem. Why can't you develop the Dhamma understanding and act with wisdom? You are not the only person in this world that is subject to disease, old age. When you don't take care of your body, condition will arise, you will fall sick. And when you fall sick, let's say it could be cancer, you are not the only one alone in the world. You're whoever who don't take care have the DNA negativity or will be affected. Then you come to realize that this is a universal problem. It's not a problem unique to you. Then you ask yourself, if that is the case, if I accept it, I don't react, I don't panic, I don't do all the foolish things that is not going to help me, then I at least have the clarity of mind and a calm mind to understand what is going on. Then like just now I say, I will trace the origination factor. How did I become like that? How did I create all the unnecessary fear, worry, anxiety leading to sorrow and lamentation? Then you trace back, it's because of your wrong view. Wrong view of self, sakayaditi. You think this is you. And you worry about it getting old, getting sick, and one day die. That is the fear. Then you get angry because you perceive things with negativity. You want things your way. So when you understand this, then you ask yourself, how can I reverse all this? How can I do away the wrong thoughts, straighten my view, so that in future, when I confront such adversity or situation or reality, I don't have to do that. I can still be at peace. I can still live my life. Then everything is still like normal. Or then you check the teaching. What did the Buddha say? The Buddha said you must learn to see things as they are. Means not according to your views, opinion, conditioning, your memory. Or then you start to understand, see things as they are, not according to my views, opinion, and conditioning. Means I must see with the direct seeing, the pure awareness. Then when I see, there is no word, no concept. Then I realize without word, without concept, without thought, I'm free. Then I inquire, seeing things as they are means what? Then I come to realize the profound truth, which from my past cultivation, I develop it. I realize people are just the way they are. Living beings are just the way they are. Deluded, living beings do deluded things. Emotional, negative, evil people do evil things. Selfish people do selfish things. And they are just the way they are. So from there, I develop the right view. Then I can accept them as they are. Means I see the reality. The reality is like the Buddha said. If conditioned like that, things will be like that. Where the whole of the conditioned world is subject to conditioned Dhamma. Just like the stupa pillar where the turtle is. All teachers, all the Aryan Sangha, awakened beings, they teach the same teaching. And the teaching is very simple. Within our conditioned world, everything is conditioned Dhamma. When condition arise, thing arise. When condition ceases, thing ceases. When condition continue to sustain, then it continue to exist. Then when I understand this, I will understand the truth. Means the world is the world. Condition like that, the world has to be like that. I cannot want things my way. Things will be like that. I have to accord, flow, accept. Then living being, they are just the way they are. Yeah? Their delusion is like that. Their karmic conditioning is like that. Their upbringing is like that. Their brain thinks like that. Then I can have this understanding to be at peace. Means I can accept them for what they are. And I can accept whatever condition as natural. Like what my teacher taught me. We choose to accept everything as natural. Because it's not so real. Only for my mind. Mighty nature rolling by. Why do you react and stir? Then like my daughter came to realize, the mental conditioning is the one that conditions you to believe that this is real, this is you, self, concept, everything. Then your duality, your sense of right and wrong, the way you perceive the world. All this is a cause of your suffering, wrong thought, born of wrong view. Then you start to understand. The physical body has its senses. You have a consciousness trapped inside. And these are natural occurrences. Upon my consciousness will arise. So when the user of thought input the wrong content, that's how you get yourself entangled. Wrong thought condition, wrong emotion, suffering. Then you understand. This is how you get into trouble. So retrospectively reverse it through right view. So that next time you will not react. You will not stir your mind so that you are always peaceful, calm, tranquil, aware. Then you act. Act with what? Noble Eightfold Path. Without negativity. Then you can resolve everything amicably without any negativity or potential karmic conditioning. So this is how the Dhamma can free your mind. The Dhamma can lead to enlightenment, liberation. So the third way and the fourth way is the most important and the most beautiful. Yeah? So the fifth way is, the Buddha is very clear. He said all the four very important technique and method and way that he has taught you also cannot help you, then you better chapsa and do it yourself. So the fifth way, if all the above four also cannot help you, then you must use your willpower, your self-determination, as recommended by the Buddha. So he advised you, with clenched teeth, in Hokkien, ka deo ge kina, with clenched teeth and tongue against your palate, towards your palate, you should determine strongly to abandon the negative, unwholesome thought. Like they say, bite the bullet. Then relinquish it. So that is how the five way can help you. And you understand this, you will know how to meditate. And you will be beautiful. You will be peaceful. That's why the five way to overcome unwholesome thought is the five way to overcome problem, suffering. Okay? Yeah. Then next one. 3.2, page 62. Oh, 10 minutes back. Wow, you're a great relief. I was looking for you. Okay, 3.2, page 62. I need to salvage my throat. Otherwise, if I speak too long, my throat will give me a problem again.
3.2, question. Is it all right to indulge in positive thought during formal sitting meditation? For example, like recalling thoughts of doing good deeds, etc. Brother Chio replied, not advisable because it is like trying to create good memories for a good state of happy mind moments, which is a form of thinking and sensual indulgence or craving for these happy mind states. Whereas radiating loving kindness or metta is different because it is not thinking. It is from the heart with the pure feeling of true metta. You are silent and you radiate that peaceful metta sincerely from your heart. When you are in the sitting posture during formal meditation training, try not to do that because it will not bring about the bhavana maya panya, the meditative wisdom, born of the third turning of the Four Noble Truths. During the formal sitting meditation, your main focus is to initially train and tame the heedless thinking mind into a relaxed state of silent inner awareness. Then, after it has stabilized, keep it silent and just be aware within to understand what is going on within our own form and mind, so as to develop the third turning direct seeing wisdom as taught by the Buddha. Understand that the first and second turning wisdom are less penetrative than the third turning wisdom, which is born of the direct seeing. Hence, the second turning wisdom via reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the truth as proclaimed by the Buddha should only be done during normal daily mindfulness training and silent, relaxed contemplative session and moments.
Okay, very good. So now you know. First turning, listening. Now, technology improved, you can read about it. There is book. Then you can re-listen through the recorded CD or whatever. But in the olden day, you can't because there is no such technology. So in the olden day, you have to look for the Buddha. If the Buddha not around, you hold Ananda repeat. Otherwise, you can't. So you are a lot more fortunate because we are in the era where technology is possible. The only difference is the teaching that you receive now has been differently interpreted. So you may not be receiving the real one. That's why you really need to have good karma, to have good teachers, to have good condition to receive the true teaching. Do you know what is the good karma or not? Yeah? And what is the negative karma? Yeah? Roughly, do you know? Yeah? Anybody want to try? Okay, PG, very good. Because you reap what you sow, isn't it? Then let PG tell you.
Brother,
yeah.
For a very long time, since I learned, like you did mention, silver mind control, I always have this thought in my mind. At the right place, at the right time, I will meet the right teacher. I've been repeating this for many years, so I suppose I landed up with that.
Yeah,
thank you, Brother.
Very good, very good. Sadhu. So that's why you must have this understanding, then you must create the condition. So this is what PG sincerely wish. But it's not only this life. In the past, he has done things that she may not know. Otherwise, he cannot meet me, I tell you, my nature. He cannot be with your kainamitas. Why? Because she herself last time had this coming obstruction initially. I finish out, then you continue. He told us last night, he said last time, whenever he go to any Buddhist session or what, the moment you mention karma, he walk out of the place. Oh. What is the reason? It's because she said last time, he don't know, listen from somebody, you know, that doesn't know the real understanding of the Buddhist teaching karma. So I think he got a friend who had breast cancer or don't know what. That guy come, or that lady come, and say, your karma, past life, in her own words, he heard, past life you must have been a prostitute before. I tell her that. So PG got so offended. He said, if this is Buddhism, forget about it. He don't want to listen. So actually that one blocked. But because of her past conditioning, she must have done something very beautiful, like this life, Kanyamita help out, and develop all the Kanyamita ship, and cultivate, then promote the true teaching. That's why she got the condition, and she come. Then she told me, very strange, come to my class. She heard the word karma, and she didn't walk out. And she stayed for 1 year. After 1 year, she understood the real teaching. That's why until now. Yeah. Okay, you continue, PG. Yeah.
Brother, I was just discussing something with Lee Hoon. We were talking about something else. How I landed up in KL.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I told her for... When your destiny is such, you know, you were saying how I met up with you.
Mm.
When destiny is such, I was supposed to be in KL. I even got jobs and all this. But I didn't take up the job or whatever. Until it comes such a time when destiny pushed me into coming to KL. Circumstances forced me out of KL, out of Penang.
Yeah.
Okay? And I landed up in KL. So I think like you say, meant to meet up with you, right?
Yeah, meant to be. No, because the conditioning is so strong, you have to come already because the condition is there. So like a lot of people say, you want to stop it also, you cannot stop. It will keep on coming. Like some of these people who experience their good karma, their dana parami, I was told by one of the Kayamita. You know what he told me, my close friend also. Yeah, when I talk about dana parami, all those things, he told me, yeah, brother, I agree with you. He said, the money, you want to stop it from coming also cannot. It keep on coming. Oh. That is what conditioning is all about. So if you are a cultivator, you can see the sign. The moment you see the sign, that's why last night I told you, Jay Krishnamurti said, wherever there is choice, there is confusion. You don't have to make choice. You based on understanding, means you see the sign, you come to know already. The condition is like that, I have to act like that. Then I will change. I will move from whatever decision I have done. And the sign will tell me. That's why I don't choose. I act with understanding. That's why last night, I think I called Kiat Hun out to write in there. Acting out of memory is not acting at all. You should act with wisdom, understanding, following Noble Eightfold Path. That is what it is. So karma is like that. If you're not sure about what you have learned and you yourself have not transformed and received the thing, then just because you heard, you get so gullible, so excited, you go and promote that type of meditation and that type of teaching and that type of book. Then when you come in future, you become the victim, you will join that type of meditation and that type of teacher and that type of teaching. That is what it is. But if you have been developing the good parami, after you learn the correct teaching, and you have the faith, the joy, then you want to be a blessing to all, then you promote the right teaching. That's why you will cultivate the affinity and condition to receive the true Dhamma. Now you understand? That's why I don't be too eager to promote things. Then I always advise Kayamita, don't be too eager to share unless you are very sure. If you want to share, can qualify it. Based on my understanding now, this is what I believe to be the truth. Then no coming. Understand now? But you don't go and promote without understanding. So sometimes people become so gullible, say, this is the real one, vipassana. You must do this. All the rest are wrong one. Then you will get into trouble. Yeah, everyone is different. And what you promote, if it happened to be not the true one, where you yourself haven't realized, you yourself haven't developed the understanding, and you want to promote. It's just like a salesman. You go for training on the product. You know what they train you on or not? How to push the sales in. They will never tell you the truth that this drug got side effect and all those things. Or they try not to tell you, answer you. Then like earlier, Richard have some sharing with us about the pharmaceutical company. It's the same. So sales means what? They want to sell. They want to promote their product. Then you gullibly go for the training. Then you hear, you believe, oh, this product very good. Oh. Like Xiantan. You know what is Xiantan? Oh? Cure everything. One. Oh. But very expensive. Then you go and promote. I went to the seminar. They told me, they got a lot of weakness. Oh. You know what is this weakness? Oh? Part of their marketing strategy. Oh, their people. Most of the time. Then they come and tell you, yeah, my parent, they try this. Oh, now they are recovered. They're different. A lot of this are happening. So if you don't have wisdom, if you don't go and find out, then you go and promote, you will get the karmic effect. In future, you will become the victim. You will consume this type of product. So law of karma is very simple. You reap what you sow. You do good begets good, do evil begets evil. You plant the seed of evil, you reap the fruit of evil. That's it. Finish. So you have to be very careful. So whenever you want me to sell something or promote something, I will make sure I find out that this is a good product. When you're sure, you try it already, then you are confident. But if you want to do the sales and yet get the salary or the remuneration and the commission, you must be truthful, upright in your conduct. Truthful means what? You speak the truth. Whatever you don't know, you say you don't know. Whatever you are not sure, you say you're not sure. I'm new, I just came into this company, and this is the product they introduced. So I'm here to sell. So if you want to give it a try, you can. So the pricing is like that. Then got offer, you say, yeah, there is an offer going on. If you want to try the offer, you can buy it at this offer rate. Then no karma, understand not? But if people use already, got complaint, got problem, then you better report back to a company and stop selling that product yourself. You understand? This is what Dhamma is all about. That's why you got upright conduct. You are very righteous. You don't do things that harm people, cheat people, deceive people. That's how you take care of karma. Otherwise, you reap what you sow. You become the victim in future. People will come and, that type of salesman will come and promote to you. And what you cause other people through your action will come back to you. Even as a doctor, as a professor, what they call professional. If you do things without ethics, in future, you will become the victim. You will go and meet up with all these doctors and professionals who also are unethical. So this is how Dhamma is to be understood. Then the training will be different. The understanding will be different. That's why it will transform you. You will have the four quality of the virtue that the Buddha proclaimed under the salutation to the Sangha. He said, this order of disciples of the Buddha, they are of good conduct. They are of upright conduct. They are of wise conduct. Then they are of dutiful conduct. They do their duty. So you cultivate already, you think you realize the truth, you think you are enlightened, check whether you have this four conduct or quality or not. If you are still not righteous, not upright, not wise, and you don't know that form am I, even though not you, but it is subject to karma, that's why you have your duty. If you can't understand all this, that is not the enlightenment that the Buddha talked about. That is something else. So this teaching is very direct, very beautiful, very clear. Okay? Yeah. Thank you, PJ. continue, Tammy.
17 Heart Sutra Class 1.1. Direct seeing refers to the silent mind in pure awareness to see things as they are without any thought, to arise the third turning wisdom, Bhavana Maya Panya. If you have wisdom, the five aggregates of form and mind will not be a problem because they will be non-grasping aggregates. Reversing the light of awareness to shine within to cultivate the daily mindfulness with clear comprehension or sati sampajanya is very important.
Yeah, so remember, reversing the light, hui guang huan chao, is very important. So that this light of awareness, the awareness is aware inside. From inside is aware of outside. Then when it's inside, your whole body and mind, it can also be aware because it's sensitive. Yeah. So this is how you develop the mindfulness cultivation. So the inner awareness is very important. Always make yourself aware. Yeah. So like earlier on, Yun Chan shared that thing that I explained. To develop the real sati leading to the real wisdom, you have to be aware every moment, every instant in life. Then like he said, when she lie down, the example, you remember? Then suddenly after a while, he heard a type of sound or vibration. Then he realized in that subconscious that perception was not clear. He can't perceive what it is. Then later on, he realized it's rain. And then the next thought arises. So I told her, this is relating to Dhamma. This is still theory. This is still not the real one. Because your daily mindfulness has not reached that stability. If you really cultivate daily mindfulness, means you are throughout the day aware. Even you lie down, you're fully aware of that movement after you lie down. Then after that, it doesn't stop there. Your awareness is there. Means you can be aware from the heart, spacious awareness, or you can be aware from somewhere you anchor your awareness to. Then from there, the awareness is always there. And there is clarity. Even though your body rests, you are not sleeping. That's why you are not in the subconscious state or unconscious state. There you will not be like very loud stimulant, only you can hear. That's why when you have the ability to understand the importance of daily mind, you are constantly aware, even when your body rests. That's why straight away, you are sensitive. You can know a lot of things. Then because you are aware, you have developed the understanding, like the example I gave you. Morning, the moment you wake up, you are aware of your posture lying on the bed. Then the first thing that conditions you is the bladder. Want to go to the toilet to ease itself. Then when it happens, your awareness will be with the tactile sensation. It's not a thought. Then when it's aware, the thought conditions you to go. Normally, you will quickly come out. Then what happens? You are not even aware of how you come out. How you move your hand, how you remove the blanket or the comforter, then how you arise, turn, move, and walk to the toilet. Everything not aware. You are heedless. You are only conscious. But when you release, answer nature's call, you ease yourself, then you felt, Ah, that is not awareness. That is not mindfulness. You have to be, at that moment, you take over. You tell the thought, now I decide, not you. Then, if you decide to go, because it's nature's call, tactile, but you will not panic. You will not hurry. You will just do it mindfully. But not that type of slow mindfulness. Understand? You will be aware how your hand move and how you move the comforter, then how you come out and how you turn and how you move to the side of the bed, stand up, walk with mindfulness. Then how you open the toilet door, then how you push it, then how you settle down into the WC, and of course before that, how you remove off your whatever thing. No need to describe that one. Then how you do the answer nature's call or ease yourself. You fully aware. Then after that, how you clean yourself and how you dress back. Then if you need to brush teeth, how you move to the basin and how your hand moves to collect the toothbrush. All this with mindfulness awareness. Then your turning, bending, stretching, the eye blinking, you're fully aware. And all this is what daily mindfulness is all about. That's why hui guang fan zao, reverse the light of inner awareness, so that you are aware from within. If you do not look inside to understand who you are, what you are, you cannot understand outside. That's why with awareness, you can understand outside. Then you realize everything outside is from inside. The external form of phenomenal world of consciousness that you see through perception, the external form you bring inside, is actually from the mind. That's why the Buddha said, mind is a forerunner of all things. Then this morning we went through the huining, the flag and the wind. It's the same. When they are confused and trapped at the form Dhamma, they will argue. One say the flag move, one say the wind move. Then huining tell them, give them a hint, a kong'an, your mind move. That's why you have to move to mind. So mind is a forerunner of all things. From mind, everything arises. Then you start to see form is impermanent. Form is delusion. Form is dependent arising, condition arising. That's why you read the five aggregate of form in my book, the two type of dependent origination. One is nature's condition to bring about the table or whatever object outside. Second is, how do you know it's a table? Through your perception. You create it through mental perception, just an image. Outside already condition arising, dependent originating. How real can it be? Then how do you know it's a table? You perceive it. It's just an image in the mind. Even more unreal. Then why do you cling onto it? Why do you grasp onto it? Why do you hold onto it and give so much meaning to it? It's definitely delusion, because you don't understand. You don't have the clarity or awareness to see all this. So this is the part, if you really want to be a cultivator, you have to inquire, then silence your mind and see all this. Then when you see, you will understand my book very easily. And you will appreciate everything that is written there. It's just like Richard earlier on, first time he attending the retreat, he came and talked to me. I think the second time or third time, he said, "Bratio, your explanation very clear, very good. Your book is even more clear." So he said, initially he got a lot of questions to ask. Then he realized all the questions already in the book. And the answer was so beautiful. Then he said, the rest he don't want to ask already. He wait and see whether they are answered or not. If they are answered, he no need to ask. People who have that keenness, understanding, they can actually learn very fast and they can actually appreciate. So if you are really that keen and have that faith and the what they call condition, then you sincerely with virya you move, you will progress very fast. Well, all these teachings are very direct and they are very beautiful. And you can't find it in other places. They may have the words, but they don't have the understanding and the explanation. And they cannot link to you all of the essential Dhamma, the teaching. And they cannot put forth a teaching that is related to life, real life, not theory, not idea, not concept. Okay? Clear? Sadhu. Don't be shy, rejoice. Every time I realize you're very shy. Sadhu. Like nobody can hear except yourself. I like Kiat Hun. Where is Kiat Hun? Put your nail. Oh, at the bench, Kiat Hun. Oh, I like that day your sadhu. Wow, suddenly she start off. Sadhu. I think that one must be something very important. Oh, the teaching about how to solve the problem. Act according to wisdom, following the way of power. No wonder she rejoiced. Yeah, that is something she want to have. That's why she rejoiced very long. Okay, continue. Tell me.
Heart 2, Heart Sutra, Lesson 17, Prajna and Emptiness, page 29 to 33. 2.1. Whenever you are not peaceful and not happy, the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are there. Whereas wisdom leads to peace, harmony, love, happiness, and joy. This is the Dharma to contemplate constantly, and it is a very good check for all cultivators. Buddha reprimanded Ananda on the saying, "See no evil and hear no evil, then you are peaceful." Because according to the Buddha, evil or not evil is all in the mind. The world is the world, and it is not a problem if you have wisdom to confront its realities, for nobody can make you unhappy or miserable unless you allow yourself to be so via your own delusion. There are three types of wisdom lights. First, wisdom light. The light of prajna of language is equivalent to the first turning wisdom called Sutamaya Panya. Second, wisdom light. The light of prajna of contemplation illumination is equivalent to the second turning wisdom called Chintamaya Panya. Third, wisdom light. The light of the prajna of the characteristic of actuality is equivalent to the direct seeing wisdom of the third turning called Bhavana Maya Panya.
Okay, next page. Next page is very interesting. Yeah.
Return all external forms or manifestation created by mind to mental consciousness, then mental consciousness to the pure awareness or true mind to realize the Buddha nature or oneness nature, which is also the source of all things.
Then there are four circles down there, very clearly explained. You read the first circle on the extreme right.
Oneness nature.
No. On the extreme right.
External manifestation of mind created via mental consciousness.
Inside the circle one.
Leads to external forms.
No, these are external forms. So external forms are actually external manifestation of mind created via mental consciousness. You understand? Because the external form is not what you think. They are external manifestation of mind created through your mental perception, consciousness. That's why you bring it into your mind. So this is the world of form, the form world. Means the phenomenal world of consciousness together with all the things that is inside there. Then, the next one?
The next one, mundane mind.
Read the rectangle down there.
The knower becomes the living being. Five aggregates of form and mind, traveler in space and time via karma.
So this mundane mind is your second aspect of your five aggregates of form and mind. You understand? So from here, you are able to perceive the world. That's why the whole phenomenal world of consciousness come about because of mind. That's why mind is a forerunner of all things. Mind is cheap. When mind arises, everything arises. That's how you know the world, the phenomenal world of form, phenomenal world of consciousness. So you realize without the mundane mind, the world don't exist. That's why mind is a forerunner of all things. And in order to understand, you have to return all this external manifestation or creation created by the mind back to the mundane mind. You can understand. When you can trace that the mind, the mundane mind, is the source that created all this, then what happened? You have to cease the mundane mind, isn't it? True or not? If the mundane mind don't cease, like you look, watch the television, huh? You got so much thing to distract you, and samsara is suffering. That's why they call it the sea of suffering. Yeah, kuhai. Yeah. So samsara is where birth and death is. And birth and death will experience birth, old age, sickness and death. Separation and all those things. The first noble truth reality. And it will lead to affliction, suffering, misery. That's why you have to cease all this. And to cease all this, you have to return all external form or manifestation of mind back to mind. Then silence this mind. The moment you silence this mind, what happens? Yeah? When the thought is not active. You realize what? The true mind. That's what the diagram is all about. So you return to the true mind. What is the true mind? Read up there.
Pure awareness, silent mind.
Silent mind. Pure awareness means what? No thought. No thought means no word, no concept. That's why there is no such thing as right and wrong, duality, fear, worry. Everything there is just aware. Finish. No more creation. Everything ceases. That's why that one can arise, the direct seeing, the awakening, and make you enlightened. So this is the wisdom that is connected to the form and mind. And then the form and mind become different. It is no longer deluded because of the wisdom. So this wisdom free the form and mind. Then you can say the form and mind is enlightened. But that form and mind is not you. It is dependent originating, condition arising. Like the Buddha explained, the five aggregates of form and mind, they are impermanent, lead to suffering, empty, not a permanent, unchanging entity, where you can cling on to, hold on to, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all these are mine. Then from the pure mind or the true mind, it can still cease for you to realize enlightenment, nibbana. That's why the true mind will return to your oneness nature or the Buddha nature. The first on the left, that circle. So this is how the forward arrow is how you come to this existential world. This is the process from the true oneness nature, the pure nature, original nature. The first thought or ignorant condition you into the external world. Then from the pure awareness, the mundane mind come out. Then this mundane mind create the illusion through perception, through the five aggregate of form and mind, and created the whole universe. External, what they call the external phenomenal world. So this is how the process happened. Then to return, to develop the wisdom and the understanding, you have to return everything and cease everything. And this is what meditation is all about. If you cannot understand this process, you cannot develop the ability to awaken. Okay? Yeah. Then read on.
Part 3, meditation. 3.1. Question 1. In meditation, usually how long will it take for the mind to settle down into stillness? Brother Chia replied, it depends on the individual. If you have cultivated correctly and consistently, and your wisdom and daily mindfulness are already very established, then the stillness of mind can be realized relatively fast. It can happen within minutes. But if you have not done the training and the wisdom is not established as yet, then it may not happen, and to settle down into stillness may be quite a difficult task.
So that is very clear, isn't it? It's not easy for living being to have that ability to experience the stillness, the quietness of mind. You go and ask around outside people. You tell them, can you silence your mind? I don't think. He say you're crazy. Don't think. I got one classmate, I told him, he asked me, hey, when you meditate, what you do? I say, I didn't do anything. I just relax and silent. Then I'm completely silent. Huh? No thought? I say, yeah, no thought. Why must you think? I say, you try now. Can you silence your mind? He said, crazy. I said, I got so much thought. I got so much worry, problem everywhere. He said, non-stop thinking. He said, impossible. Can have no thought on it. But to them, peace is so difficult to come by. Understand? To have a moment of peace is so difficult. That's why all those who went and see psychologists, the what they call, that type of doctor, what you call? Psychiatrist. Psychiatrist. You know how they make them peaceful? Insomnia, cannot sleep. Okay, you take this one, tranquilizer. You will sleep well. Initially, very effective because it's drug and so on. But after that, it develops resistance. I have this depression people coming to me. And after I explain to them, he said, "Your brother, that is what I'm going through. That's why I come and see you." He said, "The psychiatry also cannot help me now." I said, "Why?" He said, "It has become so intense, the fear and the panic attack." He said, "Last time the tranquilizer take already, or what they call the chemical imbalance type of drug that they give them, but when they know that you have anxiety, fear, panic attack, it's because of chemical imbalance. So they give that type of drug to balance the thing, so that your anxiety, your fear, those hormones that is released, is under control, understand not? So that you have less of this." But he told me, last time it worked for a few hours. Then later on, can't even last for 2 hours. No? Then later on, eat and no eat, same. No? That's why he said now he don't know what to do. Want to sleep also cannot sleep. It's like very difficult to sleep. Then I asked him, if you cannot sleep, can you be peaceful? The answer is obvious, isn't it? He can't sleep, how can he be peaceful? That's why they have this panic attack. They are really like desperate already. Yeah. I got one university classmate also say. Yeah. I think last time he went to Sui An's Thursday class. He came with the wife. He tried for a while. And at first I didn't know he got such serious problem. He come for a few weeks. Doesn't work. Then after about a month, he suddenly called me one afternoon. He said, "Tio, you free or not?" I said, "Yeah, I'm free." "Why?" "I need to come and see you. I must come and see you." Then he drove all the way to my house. The whole face pucat and panic. With so much fear, anxiety, panic attack. Then I said, "Okay, sit down, calm down. Don't panic." I said, "Relax first." Then the thought keep on inside there. Then he want to tell me what happened. Then he tell me. Then I look at him. I say, "I don't know why such a thing, like so big a problem to you. To me, you don't have a problem." He look at me. He say, "Actually, it involves a project. Understand?" He scared the client come after him. I think he make a mistake in the estimation or costing. Then when he called the tender and all those things, he didn't check the site. Then there were a lot of other issue and problem. Then the extra cost involved is going to be a big number. And he panicked. his cat kena su, and his cat the client after him and all those things. Because your estimate as a consultant cannot be out by so much. Understand? And he panic like mad. Then I bring him back to fundamental. I say, okay, you tell me, what is the contract like? You are the consultant, isn't it? Last time you can't understand all this because they don't have survey plan, don't have anything. So you take it as a standard costing, isn't it? So standard costing means you got your rule of thumb. But now when you went into the site, the real site is so different. You are a consultant, understand? You cannot lie, you cannot cheat, understand? You have to be professional. So approach it professionally. Then I say, call up the client, meet up with him and explain to him. But as an engineer, I try my very best to mitigate and bring down the cost for you. Then it become different, isn't it? It become a solution. Isn't it? Then he listen. Huh? Nothing will happen. I say, not nothing will happen. The worst case is, you cannot sue. You don't have a good lawyer. Who will pay? Insurance lah. Professional indemnity insurance you got buy. Why are you scared? Well, then the panic attack slow down. The threat all slow down. Then after that, is it? Oh, so no need to worry. Then go back. Aiyo. Like life and death. We have the thought project. The panic attack, the fear. Oh. And these are people very long in their profession already. I also retired so many years already. But it's a real incident. So Dhamma, with understanding, you don't panic. Understand? You act. Look for the best solution. Resolve it amicably. As long as you don't cheat, you don't deceive, people will understand. Of course, if professional negligence means you make a mistake, you admit. Then you need to pay. You get the insurance to pay. Understand? So it's like car accident. Happen already. Panic like anything. If that other side very aggressive, I say, don't worry, don't worry. My mistake. You claim my insurance. And then no more argument in there. You claim my insurance. I am willing to cooperate with you. But I will report exactly. At the end of the day, if it's not my fault, then the insurer will not pay you. The way you report is very important. And I will report the truth. That's why it gets resolved. But sometimes, if you have good karma, that person is very friendly. Last time, my daughter went new license. He got an accident. One taxi actually banged her. The taxi, I remember. You cannot remember. Well, the taxi guy was very friendly. He teach you, he said, don't worry, go report everything. Well, first time, you new license. Then, luckily, then he called me. Then I went there. Then everything is resolved. So, no need to panic. Just fix it. Understand? Look at it. Understand it. Move. Make a proper decision. Act out of wisdom. Understanding. No more problem. All this can be resolved. Okay? How did I come to all this? I was at Vishwan. Three point one. But this one is about meditation. How long the mind settled down? How come I end up talking about all this? Yeah lah. How did I go to psychiatrist? Now I know already. He's asking about how to enter stillness. Understand? Then I say, peace is very difficult to come by for normal people. Understand? Not to say realize stillness. To be peaceful is also so difficult. That's why I give you example and all this. So, very clear now. So you know how to act. You want to have stillness? Very easy. Four, support. Relax, aware, silent. Stillness come in already. Easy or not? So easy. Lie down, enjoy, sleep, snore. But be aware inside. Okay, next one.
3.2 question 2. What actually returns to the source?
That is the best question.
Now I ask you, what actually returns to the source? Huh? Who wants to try? You can look at the answer first, then only answer. Nobody want to try? Oh, okay lah, let me read.
Bertie replied, there is no one to return to the source. It is just the mundane mind that realizes itself and sees. The cessation of form and mind, which is the realization of Nibbana, is without any mind and totally without any thought, or even the pure awareness or consciousness. Hence, it cannot be spoken or expressed or understood via words, knowledge, or ideas or concept, which is still within the field of thoughts. The mind ceases, but you are not dead, and consciousness can still come back if it is still not time for parinibbana as yet. It is just like the analogy of the candle light that ceases.
Okay. So that is the answer, huh? Okay. Wait. What time is supposed to stop? Huh? 3 o'clock? Oh, another 15 minutes. Okay, can continue. Tell me. Good.
3.3 question 3. Buddhist meditation talks about mental liberation and enlightenment via the Buddhist way. Can non-Buddhists also gain liberation of mind via meditation?
This question is interesting, isn't it? Huh? So the Buddhists think only Buddhists can realize Nibbana. Non-Buddhists cannot. Okay, you read the answer, you will understand.
Brother Chia replied, yes, because like the Buddha said, the Dharma or truth was already there before him, and he only realized it after the enlightenment. So truth is not monopolized by Buddhism, or any religion for that matter. Whatever that can explain the way things are, is the truth. Hence, truth is not your truth or my truth, for these are the individual's opinion of truth. 3.4 Question 4. When meditating, is it normal for the mind may go blank for a while? Brother Teo replied, the mind can go blank for a while or for quite some time, depending on the type of meditation one is doing. But it is more important for us to understand what the main purpose of bhavana or meditation is. The main purpose is to realize the wisdom that can enable us to understand clearly the Four Noble Truths so that our mind can be liberated from all the entanglements of life that can condition our mental suffering. So whatever meditative experience that can bring about this wisdom or understanding is more important than just blanking our mind or developing the very special meditative experiences during meditation. The very special or beautiful meditative experiences that arise during meditation are only conditioned states, and if they do not bring about a transformation in understanding, then they should be left as they are. They should not be clung onto or perceived as equivalent to special achievement in meditation. Certain type of one-pointedness, concentration and absorption meditation can also bring about a state of like no thought or blank mind for a certain period of time. The calmness can be very strong, but the mind is without any awareness within. Such meditation is mainly samatha in nature. One will have to release the absorption and concentration to normal state of awareness to cultivate the sati sampajana, or daily mindfulness with clear comprehension, meditation to develop the insight and wisdom needed for enlightenment.
So this one is clear. Maybe it brings about a condition for me to share something that that happened during, I think, was it last Sunday, when Sue came back? She came to Wu Bing Xing Se. You remember her question? Then how I answer her? We went for dinner. So this lady was with us for quite a while. Oh, I think she told me she joined Sui An. The India trip, Sui An. You know what she said or not? She at first didn't tell me the story before. No? He asked one very powerful question. No? He said, "Brother Teo," he said, "I want to know why when I was on this India trip, I was so calm. Then my mind was so quiet, so peaceful. Then my mind don't react to anything. No like, no dislike. Like no duality, very calm. What actually happened?" She asked me, "How you answer? How do you answer?" You may think, this type of state, equanimity, correct? Na? No, it's a conditioned mind. I say, this mind is a conditioned mind. Even you are enlightened, you will not become like that. Understand how? Where got such thing as no feeling, nothing one? Like also like that, don't like. The wisdom is there that does not attach and cling. Life is still life, understand or not? Good food is still good food, understand or not? Because it must be a conditioned state, I told her, that make you like that. Then that day, Polian, where is Polian? Polian, where are you? Sleeping? I didn't wear the other glass. You remember in the class, in the car after Thursday class, you asked me. He said he went to one retreat. He said, very funny, that retreat. Go in. After a while, everybody, I say, very calm one, very still one. You answer. Okay. Let her answer. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Because after all these years, this is 6 years anniversary here. So my mind is, I used to tell people, but people deny me. I used to tell my mind is super monkey. The monkey mind jump from tree to tree. And even in normal life, people talking to me, they can also tell me, "Hey, Polly, I'm talking to you on this topic, you straight away jump to something else."
Okay, but that day in the car, you tell the same experience to these people.
My experience, other people, I don't know.
Yeah, your experience.
A monkey mind like me can be like, what can I say? It's like, my mind is freeze. Like freezer.
The
I
word,
can open freeze. My eyes, see things, like brother you say.
Seeing things as they are, she thought. Because she don't see anything, don't perceive anything.
I got no comment. I won't say, drawing, tree.
So she thought that is direct seeing.
I just say, my monkey mind can be like that. Because I'm super monkey.
Correct. So, after that, you remember how I explained to you?
Brother was telling me this conditioned mind.
No, I asked you, are you in a state of a free mind? It's not a free mind.
I only know I'm like, freeze already.
Correct. You know what happened? Because that Dhamma conditioning, exactly like what happened to Sue. Then after I explained, I asked Sue, "Did I answer your question?" He straight away answered, "Yes, I fully agree. Because I have this conditioning before I come, before he joined the trip." He said, in New Zealand, "I must silence my mind. I must be calm. Peaceful. I must be in the state of equanimity, no like, no dislike." That's why he went there. Then I said, when you went there with the faith and with this type of conditioning, your mind sure become like that. Because she already trained before. So when the mind is like that, it's not a free mind. But luckily she asked, "Can Brad to explain what is this?" Luckily I explained to her. Then she was full of joy. Then he want to buy me dinner after that. That's why somebody suggests to her, "No need to wait till next Tuesday, is it? tonight we go dinner. That's how we end up dinner. Then we spoke. Papa Suri was there, Verti was there, my wife was there, many of us. So this is what conditioned state is all about. So when you hear too much Dhamma, you think you also have that direct seeing. You think you're also in the state of equanimity. But it's actually a conditioned state. When you are at a peaceful place, tranquil, then you determine, it becomes a conditioned mind. I really told you, you have to release all this concentration out and live life as a free mind. Experience everything, but you must have mindfulness, awareness, sati. The only thing that frees you is wisdom. Before the wisdom comes, all these things that happen, you have to check. It's a conditioned state. This is what I try to explain under this Q&A. When meditating, is it normal that the mind may go blank? This is one of the questions. Go blank means what? They thought go blank means no mind. Gone beyond mind already. Understand? No. This one is a conditioned state. That's why a lot of people are, you know what is going into trance? You low tongue also, you don't know anything. Also like blank. Then wake up, you ask that person in trance, hey, what happened just now? I don't know. What did I do? Because some other being took over the body, understand? And the mind. So a lot of things, if you are not sure, you have to find out, inquire, investigate yourself. And then you develop the wisdom. The best check is, if you have not transformed, changed, or developed the wisdom to be at peace at every moment, every instant, every circumstances, when you go back to daily life, then please check your enlightenment. That is not what the Buddha teach. Then you don't have the four type of virtue that the Buddha talk about. Then you know there is a conditioned state. If you really have the understanding and the awakening, when it happens, it's different. It's a free mind, yes. It does not stir, react, yes. But it can live life. Do you understand? The only difference is the wisdom doesn't lead to delusion and attachment. You don't cling, you don't hold. Then got conditioned to eat good food, you still eat. Understand? You still experience them. There got such thing as no matter what happened, I say, everything also like the mind equanimous one. No like, no dislike. Then what are you? You are like what? Huh? Like a zombie. Because that is not a living being. A living being is sensitive. Because we are, what are we? We are human. We have emotion. Understand? We are not a statue. Understand? We are not a robot. Understand? So understand that the human being has the physical form, the consciousness, and it can be, is capable of being aware, conscious. And upon contact, feeling arise. There is feeling. There is sensation. But this feeling is non-grasping. It doesn't cling. It doesn't attach. But it can experience them as a, like joy, tranquility, stillness, peacefulness, good food. It can take. But it does not attach. Got condition, he will have it. No condition, he will not have it. He will not suffer. Even got condition, if he is full, he will not eat. Understand? That's why this few days, a lot of people ask me, but why you eat so little? In the afternoon, my rice, they took half bowl, the small bowl. I told my wife, take away 3/4. So she's scared I eat not enough. He take away a little bit. Then after that, I took the bowl, I go there, I really chop away 3/4. Then he looked at me, he said, you won't be hungry. I say, my body is okay. I don't need food. That's why you will know what you need and what you don't need. It's not like I must eat, no. Otherwise, I got no strength. No. You have to know your body. Sometimes I'm very hungry. I used to tell Song when I was in the early year meditating, because I need a lot of energy, because that time the food and all those things, this energy must melt inside for the internal movement, the trust to happen. During the time I eat a lot, you ask my wife. For no reason, suddenly I get hungry and I want to go out and eat supper and all those things. And I will know what food suitable for the body. That is what meditation is all about. You will know yourself very well, your form and mind very clearly. And you act because the body needs. Like you contemplate on food, isn't it? Before you start your meal, isn't it? Yeah. In the contemplation, it's written there that I consume this food not for beauty and enjoyment, or intoxicating. All this. So all this you have to understand. But don't go and read already. Use that as the Dhamma knowledge. Try to be what? Then sometimes they get so carried away. They say, enlightened already, no craving. No. Cannot eat good food, no. Good food is craving, no. You believe? Cannot eat, pass to me, I eat. The Buddha said, don't attach. Craving is don't attach. He very well say good food, cannot eat. During his time, you think the the king and all the rich people invite him for house dana. Do you think they offer him simple food? I tell you, he also eat that type of noble food that is offered to him. But he know his body. Then the last one, somebody offered something. He knew if he eat, he will get into trouble. And he knew it's coming. But he want to allow that person to have the parami. Because the first to offer food to him before he become a Sammasambuddha, that is Sujata. Very, very meritorious. Then the one that offered the last meal before he parinibbana, also very virtuous. That's why he accepted the food. He knew it's coming. And after he ate, a lot of problems happened to him. Out of love and compassion, he willing to endure all those things to allow this person to have that parami. So you understand, enlightened being is different. They are not what the unenlightened one thing. So this is something that you will learn. Okay. Can continue.
Eighteen Heart Sutra Class 1.1. Daily mindfulness is very important to enable one to realize the real Dharma as taught by the Buddha. Without this daily mindfulness, via an awareness of all action and movement, feelings, content of consciousness, and Dharma that arise and pass away from moment to moment, within the present moment, the real wisdom cannot arise. When there is no wisdom, one will be conditioned by one's delusion, whereas wisdom leads to joy, peace, love, compassion, and harmony. How you interpret or perceive a life situation or a phenomenon at every moment of sense experience is very important. When you have wisdom, life itself is your teacher. The enlightened one will perceive all things with wholesomeness only, develop the wisdom to be at peace with all situations, and learn to accept the reality of the moment, so that one does not have to react to or worry about life, but instead always act with wisdom, following the Noble Eightfold Path to resolve all of the life situation amicably. 1.2. The four right efforts are the right effort. 1. To abandon the unwholesome action, speeches and thoughts that had already arisen. 2. To prevent the arising of the unwholesome thoughts, speeches and actions that have yet to arise. 3. To develop or cultivate the right thoughts, speeches and actions. 4. To maintain and refine upon any right thoughts, speeches, and actions that are already in you.
Good. This one we have covered already, so skip. Go on to the next one. Part 2.
Heart Sutra Lesson 18. The Conditioned Body, page 35 to 39. 2.1. There are three types of suffering. 1. Suffering within suffering. In its most obvious ordinary form, dukkha dukkata. Suffering within the physical form like birth, old age, sickness and death. If the mind via delusion cling and attach to this bodily suffering, then there be double suffering. That is, not only the body is sick, mind is also affected. 2. Suffering due to the unsatisfactory of conditioned states. Unsatisfactoriness of conditioned state.
Sankhara dukkata.
Suffering due to mental attachment via attachment of the sankhara aggregates of mind. 3. Suffering caused by change. Viparinama
dukkata.
Everything is impermanent or unsatisfactory, and if one cannot accept this reality or this universal characteristic of impermanence, then suffering will arise while wanting good things your way. Note, suffering due to change is explained on page 43 of the Buddha's Ancient Path by Piyadasi Thera. Viparinama dukkha comes under the category of unsatisfactoriness due to impermanence. All the pleasant and happy feelings that man can experience fade away and disappear. As the Buddha says, when the feeling that a yogi or meditator experiences by attaining the four meditative absorption, jhana, come under the category of viparinama dukkha, because they are transient, anicca, dukkha, and subject to change, viparinama dhamma. But the dukkha mentioned here is certainly not the pain and suffering that people in general endure. What the Buddha points out is that all things impermanent are unsatisfactory. They suffer change every moment, and this change brings about unsatisfactoriness. For whatever is impermanent is unsatisfactory. Yada nicham tam dukkang. There is no lasting bliss.
So that one is from the textbook. Then continue, next one.
Okay. Part 3, Meditation 3.1, Question 1. As always emphasized by Brother Teo, right understanding and right view are very important. If one lacks of this, then how can one progress along the path of Dhamma? Brother Teo replied, according to the Buddha, the first of the Noble Eightfold Path factor is Samadhi, or right view. Without this right view, you can't proceed with the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Because if your view are wrong, then your thoughts will be wrong. As thoughts and mental intention condition our speeches, actions, and the way we live our life, then all the other subsequent path factors of the Noble Eightfold Path will also be wrong. Hence, it is important to have the right view or right understanding as the first path factor within the Noble Eightfold Path. The three right views with regards to all the spiritual laws that governs all the life and existence are very important, and they are 1. The law of karma, karma niyama. 2. The law of the mind, citta niyama, like the 12 link of paticca samuppada. 3. The law of all other nature's truth, dhamma niyama, like the four noble truths. Nature's truth, anything that can explain the way things are is the truth. The Buddha's advice via Dhammapada verse 183 to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind comes from the first right view, law of karma. According to the Buddha, each and every one of us is born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma.
which is also one of the 5 daily contemplation that the monks are told to reflect on daily. Hence the importance of taking care of one's karma. How do we take care of karma? We need to train our mind to be very mindful or heedful.
Ever mindful. Ever mindful.
Yeah. To train our mind to be ever mindful or heedful of our mental intention, so that our actions, speech and thoughts are always right and appropriate, to avoid all the negative or evil karma, while keeping our precept and cultivating their ennoblance. This will enable us to heed the first 2 advice of the Buddha, and the 3rd advice is to cultivate the 4 foundations of mindfulness to purify one's mind. 3.2 Question 2. When we are on the wrong path while having wrong view, how can we come out of it? Brother Chiu replied, this is a very good question. Now, you can understand the great wisdom of Lord Buddha in teaching us how to make sure that we won't have wrong view or follow the wrong path by following his advice to sincerely cultivate the below important cultivation and aspiration. 1. Taking the 3 refuges, Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha, with very strong faith and sincerity, via understanding its importance. There is no other safe refuge except in the Triple Gem, where the 4 Noble Truths can be found to realize the enlightenment. 2. To make the aspiration by reciting
Imina Punyang Kamena Mame Bala Samagamo Satang Samagamo Hotu Yava Nivana Patiya.
To invoke the power of merits to enable one to avoid all the foolish and meet with the wise and the enlightened one, so that Nibbana can be realized soonest possible time. 3.3 Question 3. You reap what you sow, so can this karma be experienced in this very life? Brother Chiu replied, it depends on which chetana or determining thought moment the karma is being committed. According to the Abhidhamma, there are 7 determining thought moments or chetana or mental intention to condition karma, and if it happens during the first determining thought moment, then it is only effective this life if there is
condition for it to arise.
Otherwise, it will cease to be. Similarly, for the 7 determining thought moment, it is only effective up till the next life if there is condition for it to arise. But those occurring between the 2nd and the 6th determining thought moments will be around at all times. So the answer is, it is possible to experience them even in this lifetime, just like how you reap the result of your hard work while studying and later on working in this life.
Okay, we can stop here. You can have your meditation. Oh, good. 3:10. I give you 1 hour. So we come back at 4:10. So we can off the light. Then you all can have your 1 hour meditation.